hard to read them.
Yes, sir. All right, if there are no other questions, I would like to call to order the business session of the Commonwealth Transportation Board for the month of November. As is our custom, we'll begin with a public comment. Mr. Tripp Pollard is the first signed up, to be followed by Elliot Wheeler. Welcome, Mr. Pollard. Daylight saving time.
Yeah. Help the dark out there. I'm Andrew Pollard. I'm the Atlantic Community Director for the Southern Environmental Law Center, and I would like to just comment briefly on I-81 since you all were receiving a number of updates on that today. Also to say the Shenandoah Valley Network and Coalition for Smart Growth and Community Alliance for Preservation all wanted to join these comments. And we all recognize this is a critical quarter. We strongly support efforts to improve it. Some of the steps we heard about this afternoon are very, very promising. Others raise some concerns, and we have two main areas of concern. First is the failure to correct the flaws in the EIS that sets the framework for the corridor improvements. The second is the failure of the plan improvements to focus enough on safety hotspots and to follow through on your resolution last year about how improvements should proceed. Efforts to improve 81 must be built on a firm foundation. And we've shared our concerns before with you about the EIS, about some of the flaws with it, and those are spelled out in greater detail in other comments. But in particular, we're concerned about its slight of some of the most effective rail improvements and safety improvements, as well as not looking at local street networks to provide local traffic a better alternative, and to consider the potential impact of rising volatile fuel prices. And finally, it underestimates some of the environmental damage done. For example, it doesn't look at CO2, especially given the governor's recent pronouncements about the importance to address climate change. We think that's his problem that needs to be remedied. So we recognize that you all are taking steps to incorporate some of these issues as we go along. We heard about the rail study, for example, and how that's going to be folded in. But there hasn't been any movement that we're aware of on some of these other issues in the over a year since you all passed your resolution. We are concerned that is not moving forward. So we would urge you to insist that some of these shortcomings in the Tier 1 study be corrected and that either a revised impact statement or a supplemental one be issued. Again, I've heard some people question, you know, why do we need to worry about getting this straight? The EIS does set the framework, not only for this board, but quite possibly for your successors as the improvements in the corridor. So we do urge you to get it right. We think there are still some problems with that framework, some of which, again, I think are being addressed, and there's a process in place for folding them in. Others, I think, have yet to be acted on. Our second area of concern are the two large proposals that we heard about for truck lanes in Rockbridge and Montgomery County. Again, we strongly support safety improvements to the corridor. We support targeted truck lanes. We think that they are necessary. And we also acknowledge there are some limitations on flexibility with some of the funding coming from safety earmarks for truck projects. However, a large part of the money is, as we heard earlier today, able to be used more broadly. And we are concerned that these two projects actually don't address, although as I believe Fred Altizer mentioned, they're two of the steepest areas when you look at the profile of 81, they're not the hot spots for safety. When you look at the EIS data, they're not where most serious accidents are occurring. So again, we support truck climbing lanes, but we want to would urge that you all take a further look at how we are targeting this money. As came out in answer to question and answer earlier, these two projects are going to soak up all pretty much of those federal earmarks. So we believe there are other things you could do to get more bang for the buck. In addition, these projects are using a categorical exclusion, which means the community and environmental impacts and alternative designs are not being studied. But these are not simple truck lanes. The truck lanes that Fred Altizer showed you pictures of that have been built recently are about a mile or a little under a mile. One's around, for example, Buffalo Creek. The one that's moving the furthest along is over 7 miles in length and would add 30 feet of pavement in addition to a 17-foot shoulder. Now, the documentation that's been prepared recognizes the presence of sensitive resources, and we believe that not taking this to a higher level of analysis of impact on these resources is improper. We're also concerned that your I-81 resolution hasn't been followed here. You all said that future improvements should be consistent with the context-sensitive solutions approach. This has not been done in this case. Now, a truck lane, and I had this discussion with Secretary and Commissioner, and this is not a new concern I'm bringing up, it's the 11th hour here. Truck lanes aren't the best thing in the world to try to do a full-blown context-sensitive solutions approach, but there are elements of it that should be done that have not been done on this project. And I think that's part of what's led to, frankly, I think, an over-designed project, where you have, instead of just a 12-foot truck climbing lane, proposals for 30 feet of additional pavement, plus a 17-foot shoulder. We think this is much more than necessary. Better design would save money by reducing the footprint, allowing you to target more money to greater safety problems, so we can get more bang for our buck. Obviously, we're not going to go into the details of all that, given that there's a public hearing tomorrow on the design. But we urge you all, I think the role of the CTB is to stand behind your resolution from last year and see that it is carried out, that at least an environmental assessment is done. And we believe we can expeditiously move, even at this point, to have a more collaborative process that rather than just this hearing tomorrow night to get public input and develop a more context-sensitive design that, again, could reduce, I think, the cost and the impact of this project, freeing up more money for what we believe are more needed projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pollard. The next speaker is Elliot Wheeler, to be followed by David Foster. Is Mr. Wheeler here?
I don't believe he's here anymore.
Okay. All right, Mr. Foster, to be followed by Joyce Waugh. Why don't we'll pass those out in the interest of time.
All right. Although it takes some time to pass the things out, it does cut short what I have to say. I was very pleased to hear a lot of the comments today in this workshop. I know a lot of the time the CTB spends is on relatively routine matters, but a workshop such as we had today, where we explore long-term, far-reaching consequences of transportation policy in the state, I think is extremely important. I was sorry that we didn't have an opportunity for more debate and dialogue among participants. And I would encourage you, if we do this kind of thing again, let's have a little less structured format and an opportunity to talk amongst ourselves. I found myself sitting here in the audience listening to a lot of these presentations and making up my own answers to the questions that you were asking and thinking that you really weren't getting the right answers in a number of cases. So I think it would help a lot if we could have a dialogue and if we could have an organization such as ours that represents the public interest. I respect Norfolk Southern. I worked for Norfolk Southern for 24 years. I think they're a great organization. But their best interest is not always congruent with the public's best interest. And I think it's important to sort through these rail things carefully. Mr. Secretary, you started this session by talking about a long-term vision for the corridor, and I think that's very correct. I wanted to allude to a few of the questions that Dr. Davis asked, which were very appropriate, I thought. He talked about funding major I-81 corridor expenditures and asked, could rail realistically be part of the future mix? That's a question that a lot of us are asking. He went on to say, we have to get serious about rail investment in the corridor. And he asked some good questions of Norfolk Southern about investment in the Shenandoah rail line. And I don't think they gave him a good answer. He also said that rail diversion demands attention in future traffic projections. And then he went on to raise some very good questions about equity in rail projects as a quid pro quo for public investment participation. I think this is a whole new area that we're getting into in this country, where we have a private sector rail industry, and we're getting to the point where many times we get a better bang for our buck investing public dollars there in capacity improvements than in ever more lanes of highway. But we have to say, how do we decide when it is appropriate for public dollars to be invested in a private industry? How do we protect the public? And how do we make sure that the public benefit exceeds public cost? I can't answer all these questions tonight. I'll probably get gaveled down after 3 minutes. But I hope by giving you that folder of information that we could help you address some of these issues. My card is in there, and Rail Solutions stands ready to help guide the CTB in understanding of rail issues. We don't necessarily have all the answers, but we're pretty good at asking the questions. There was a question asked by Mr. McCarthy, shouldn't we have a target to make X percent divertible? Well, that's exactly the question that Rail Solution asked when we wrote House Bill 1581 that passed the 2006 Virginia General Assembly. I wrote that bill, and I put on page 2 of that bill a full list of criteria that we needed to look at in the study, including a beginning assumption that we want to divert 60% of the through trucks. Okay, now tell us what we need to do that. And then we can compare that more meaningfully with the various highway options that got studied in great depth in the EIS. Mr. Schwartz raised some very good questions about fuel prices. Of course, fuel wasn't considered at all in the I-81 EIS in making the projections of demand, but we think it's a very important factor in talking about what our transportation decisions are in the years ahead. That's about all I'm going to say. There are several publications of Rail Solution in that folder. There is another interesting one on our website. It's an 8-page PDF that covers our visit to Freiburg, Germany in September to look at a truck ferry operation over there, a rolling highway operation over there. You can download that easily from the website. Anyway, if you have any questions after you read these things, please let me know, and we'll be glad to help you sort through what I think the answers should be.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. The next speaker is Joyce Waugh, to be followed by Reese Shearer. Welcome, Ms. Waugh.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary and Commissioner and CTB members and staff. I'm Joyce Waugh with the Roanoke Regional Chamber, and I just wanted to thank you for being here today and for the very good updates on I-81. Yeah, this has been important to us for a very long time. The truck climbing lanes, the future location of the intermodal facility, the rail study for future rail improvement, and any additional measures for improving and even widening 81 to increase safety and capacity. These are all critical to our region's economic vitality and quality of life. Let me tell you, if I've got a second, how Roanoke got its name. Roanoke actually comes from a term which was a Native American term, more like Roanoke, which meant a shell bead or like a wampum, so money, trade beads, kind of money. And it seemed appropriate today, since you were in our fair city, to mention that, because construction costs continue to escalate and likely we won't see that curve go down. So we would urge you just to continue making progress wherever possible, especially on 81. Thank you so much for being here, and thank your staff for all the work they do.
Thank you, Ms. Wall. The next speaker is Reese Shearer, and is there anyone who would like to address the board after Mr. Shearer? Welcome, Mr. Shearer.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I am Reese Shearer. I'm the chair of Rail Solution. I'm from Emory, Virginia, and I know you all must be tired, and I appreciate any attention that you can give my remarks this evening. Improving safety is obviously a focus of the efforts of the CTV along I-81. Are the two truck hill climbing lanes proposed for Montgomery and Rockbridge counties the best use of the $42.5 million in earmarks not dedicated to exclusive truck lanes? Are these lanes the only way to use less restricted earmark money to implement freight management and safety improvements, as the governor directed his transportation team to do in our presence in August 2006. I think we need more of the creative kind of thinking that Mr. Kaywood demonstrated on Exit 150. That $42 million might best be used to mitigate problems on other sections of the interstate where curves and poorly designed interchanges may be causing accidents. VDOT identified 8 one-mile sections of I-81 in the I-81 EIS as having a 100% greater than average Virginia interstate miles crash score. None of these more hazardous areas lays within the two truck lane project sites. Instead of safety data, it appears that the VDOT staff used highway grade as the main selector for determining where these projects would be built. Safety money is not to be squandered. Rail Solution supports truck climbing lanes when the safety need is established and the planning properly carried out. Categorical exclusions proposed by VDOT avoid appropriate environmental review for these truck climbing lanes, and construction will almost certainly have environmental impacts. However, with CEs, those impacts will not be identified. Mitigation measures cannot be properly undertaken. Such so-called improvements flagrantly disregard the CTV's resolution passed here on site October 11, 2006. They required VDOT to employ context-sensitive design in all I-81 improvements. Exempting significant sections of the highway from Tier 2 evaluation eliminates promised public involvement in the planning process. VDOT proposes to add 30-foot width of pavement for these truck lanes. This is a backdoor launching of construction of an 8-lane I-81 without Tier 2 review. Such action violates the spirit of the same cited CTV resolution in October, requiring VDOT to withhold decisions regarding capacity increases pending completion of the corridor multi-rail study. The very exciting rail options outlined this afternoon by Mr. Schaefer and Mr. Page, a kind of rail transit for trucks, if you will never fully demonstrate their advantages and compete equally alongside as long as highway proponents can ignore their negative environmental and socioeconomic impacts. On a final note, regarding the PPTA and the I-81, Rail Solution believes VDOT's pursuit of a non-competitive bid contract rewarding KBR is a misuse of the PPTA. To proceed with a PPTA approach when the plan has been trimmed down from a $13 billion project to $142 million ignores the qualitative difference in scale between the two projects. The use of the PPTA for truck lanes sets a very poor business precedent. It smacks of cronyism. It's unfairly excluding many regional contractors, and it encourages wasteful spending of public money. I hope you will reconsider some of the decisions that are being made in regard to these truck passing lanes. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to address the board? If not, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item one, which is under Innovative Finance and Revenue Division, neither Ms. Reese nor Ms. Brown can be here. I think I can say, Rick, if there are any questions, I may need a little bit of help from you. There was a loan from the Transportation Partnership Opportunity Fund to the I-95 hot lanes to accelerate some of the preliminary engineering for reasons that I could not fully articulate. The preferable funding source is the State Infrastructure Bank. It's both 100% state money, but it is a different funding source with slightly different rules. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Under DRPT, the action on the agreement to provide technical support to North Carolina Department of Transportation. Mr. Page, if you could just briefly describe this.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. What you have before you is a resolution that is a requirement because this is an agreement between the state of North Carolina and the Commonwealth of Virginia, so it requires CQB approval. And this is a reimbursement agreement that has been struck as cooperatism between NCDOT and DRPT as we continue to move forward the Southeast High-Speed Rail Tier 2 Environmental Impact Statement. The Tier 2 also requires that some highway designs and movement of roads be contemplated and also proposed as part of the preliminary engineering of this Tier 2 analysis, which requires VDOT's input, Mr. Chairman, and review of these said projects. In retrospect to that, under the business processes that VDOT and DRPT and others have implied, we need to make sure that the charges are in accordance and fall through under good business practices. What this does, Mr. Chairman, is authorizes VDOT to enter into agreement with NCDOT, who is doing the Tier 2 analysis with DRPT under our Rail Enhancement Fund agreement. So it gets the charges in the appropriate place coming back to the Commonwealth.
Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Action item three are the routine transfers under Programming Division. Are there any questions of Ms. Mitchell? Is there a motion?
Move to approve.
All in favor?
Stereo.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
And then action item four, also under Programming, is the addition of the Roanoke Bridge Rehabilitation Project to the FY08-13 six-year improvement program.
I move to approve.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Right-of-way and utilities, we have two land conveyances, one in Wise and one in Tazewell County. Can we take 5A and B up simultaneously?
Move through.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Under DRPT, rail industrial access, the Matrix Group in the city of Bedford. Mr. Page, could you give us a very brief presentation?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chip Badger of the DRPT staff briefed the board last month on this project. This project is a $9.9 million capital investment within the city of Bedford. Will create 18 jobs. Bedford today has a 3.6% unemployment rate. Virginia is a 3.1%, so it is a higher area for unemployment for the Commonwealth. Under this project, Mr. Chairman, if approved by the board, will allocate and allow authorize $340,000 to be applied in rail industrial access funds with a $40,000 local match commitment from the Matrix Group to move forward for the construction of 2,800 feet of track plus one implant switch to gain access to this site. Mr. Chairman, back to you for questions.
Move approval.
How many jobs is that?
Okay, we have motion and second. If there's questions.
How many jobs is that?
It begins at 18 and ramps up, sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
We now turn to the incredibly patient Mr. Byron Coburn. Thank you for bearing with us today. And I would note that is this a good month?
Excellent month, sir.
Good. This is, I believe, five in a row now. And I want to note for posterity, the first item on here is the Virginia Capital Trail. And I'm not seeing the length.
It's approximately 7 miles, and this is in the vicinity of the Charles City Courthouse on the south side of the road, on the riverside Route 5.
I am honored to move this one, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All right. I would also, too, like to our former colleague Jimmy Carr just worked so many years on this project and pieced the plan together. I'd like to send a letter to Mr. Carr along with his contract award on behalf of the CTB. I'll be happy to sign that when we get this approved. If we could.
So moves, Mr. Chairman.
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And, you know, I remember, and Ms. Conley, when the bike trail went from Mount Vernon to to the Washington Memorial. And that was controversial. It's hard to believe that that is the most used national park in America. And it was controversial, hard to believe today. This trail has encountered a little bit of controversy, not a lot. But it's going to be every bit as, in some ways, maybe even more impressive than that Capitol Trail. So this is really a great project. Page two.
The next project is an urban project, and this is the third phase of the Warwick Boulevard project. Just to take a minute, this project was originally, bids were originally received in April of 2005. The project at that time had a completion date in April of 2010, and the bids were received at $45 million. After staff analysis, we did not believe that was appropriate, and so we, working with local government, we re-engineered that project, divided it into three parts, right-sized it, if you will, for the market and for the industry that was interested in that project. We've re-advertised this now, the third piece. If you award this one, the total of those three parts, after adding $3.5 million of work in landscaping, lighting, and sewer work, we will have saved $7 million and reduced the total time of disruption by 6 months. And so this is a good example of the right-sizing of projects and how working with that market, it sometimes works, and this one is sweet. And I would recommend your approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, page three.
The last project is Interstate. This is a federal plant mix and guardrail safety upgrade project. We only received one bid on this project. And after very careful analysis, do not believe it represents an appropriate value, and we recommend its rejection. We will restructure that project and re-advertise it.
Move rejection be approved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Ms. Coburn.
Thank you.
Are there any items to come up under new business?
Mr. Chairman, at the indulgence of the group, I'd like to say just a word about a draft of a resolution that I laid around at each person's table and handed out to others. At the December meeting, I would like to hope that with a lot more crafting of more accurate descriptions of some of the public law references, with an attempt to include a number of corrections to the language of the resolution, that we might consider a conversation that might lead to a resolution by the board that would attempt to move the I-81 corridor discussion forward in terms of a vehicle for providing the resources that are needed to address a number of the issues we've talked about today that include multimodal transportation, that include the safety improvements on 81, and to do so with a concept not too different from what was taken in Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, to form an authority along the I-81 corridor with appropriate powers to raise revenues to begin to address a number of the issues related to 81, which would include both rail and regular transportation. I know it may not be an easy conversation, but I think it would be good for us to engage in it once again a year later from what we did a year ago, to see if we could move this discussion further along. It's my personal opinion that we will not get the resources we need for the I-81 corridor unless we organize and unless we propose to the General Assembly and seek approval through this body for powers already given to us to raise revenue related to the I-81 corridor, which I'll use the word tolls. And that's still under study by staff. And I would like to think that we might be able to craft a resolution that would move this discussion forward. I would appreciate everybody individually sending me some comments so we can have something perhaps that's more accurate and that's also descriptive of what you would like to see happen in the quarter. and I will share it extensively with anyone else who wants to come in as well. Does it seem appropriate, Mr. Chairman, that we would try to have a discussion on a resolution on the agenda for the December meeting?
We need to take that under advisement. That's certainly a fair request. We need to look at some of the other items on the agenda, see if that's right. There's a lot of embrace in there, but certainly a December or a January time frame, I think, is a realistic consideration.
Very good.
So this is just being provided for informational purposes. In the event that this were to be scheduled for a discussion, we would schedule it as a work session item
first,
and then to be acted on at a subsequent meeting.
Okay.
Any questions? All right. Any other action or suggestions under new business? If not, is there a motion?